Church history is one of the most ignored subjects in the world. When they talk about church history, people think about the Catholic Church, the history of the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church did not begin until way over here. Church history began at the seashores of Galilee when Jesus called his church out. And all early Christians, what we call primitive Christianity, or what people call what primitive Christians were, Baptists in faith and practice. Baptists in their faith and practice. Now, you look here, and we got churches begun before 100 AD. The first churches began in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the seashores of Galilee. The first disciples that were called out were these men that wrote the Bible, and that were Jesus' companions, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Peter, and Paul later on. These were all early Christian men. Apostles were people that had special powers and authority. Special powers and authority. And God called them out. Apostle comes from apostello in Greek. Apostello. The word church actually should be translated assembly. And apostles come from apo and stello. Okay, apostello, that means sent out with authority. It's an old Greek word, and your Russian comes right out of Greek. The spelling and everything, and a lot of the words. Anastasia. The Princess Anastasia, the Russian Princess, her name was the Anastasia, the Resurrection. That's what her name meant, was Resurrection. Now, we're studying about Patrick also, and we're going to read his own words as we do this. But I want you to see the world that he lived in. Catholicism was beginning to stick its ugly head up. In 325, the church and the state became one. Before that, they were all independent. They were all believers. Nobody baptized children. A person that was to be baptized had to come to the knowledge that they were a sinner and that they needed to be saved and ask God to forgive them. And then they were baptized. And when they were baptized, then from that time of life on, they said, we're a new creation in God. And so our old life is washed away, and our new life, now we stand in Christ from now on. And we baptized you not too long ago, remember? All right. Now, Patrick lived in this world, and this early world of Christianity. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he had two converts, Pudens and Claudia. And Pudens and Claudia went into Wales or Britain, and they established churches there. And from these churches that they established, and these were like cannibals at this time. These were really vicious, uncivilized people. The whole world was uncivilized. Actually, they just killed each other right and left, didn't they? They just burned and pillaged, raped, and whatever. That was it. That's what they did. That was their living. Now, Patrick was a descendant of these churches in Wales and Britain. His father was a deacon. And Succotus Patricus was his name originally. The Catholic Church in history later on decided, oh, this guy was really a great preacher, so we're going to call him ours. And they invent a history how that he did all this and he chased all the snakes out of Ireland and all this, which he did not do. And there were never any snakes in Ireland. And all the beer and all of the shamrocks and everything else, this all comes from history. It doesn't come from Patrick's life at all. I'm going to let you tell Patrick tell you about himself right now. Now, he lived in this world. Now, if you look up here, see, infant baptism had begun, but he didn't baptize infants. He had nothing to do with the Catholic Church. The hierarchy of the Catholic Church had not crept into England yet. It had not crept in because there were Baptist churches there. And when you read the Bible, what we call, inoculates you from heresy. When you read a Bible, it'll tell you whatever's coming from this group of people is not right. Patrick believed in the triune God. He believed in repentance. He believed in faith. And he believed in baptism of adults. These are all the things that he believed. The Catholic Church had begun to practice other things at that time. The worship of Mary began in the 500s. The worship of Mary, Mariolatry. Infant baptism was established by law. Indulgences. If you join our army, or if you pay enough money, your sins can be forgiven by the priest. You'll never find any of that in the Bible. Purgatory was a doctrine that the Catholic Church invented. Purgatory. Satan image worship in 786 A.D. And then they began to have the crosses, crucifixes, and they began to have images. And they prayed to the saints instead of God. All of this is circumventing God and putting the church in the place of God and Mary in the place of Jesus Christ. Saint image worship, then we have the division. We have the rosary in 1090 AD. We have a canonization of the saints in 995 AD. And they did that with St. Patrick. You know, they started talking about it, even though he was never canonized. And then we talk about transubstantiation when they turn the wafer and into the body of Jesus Christ and the blood into his blood, or the wine into his blood. This all originated later. And then we have celibacy in 1123 AD, and that was one of the horrible, most horrible doctrines that the Catholic Church ever invented, because it caused all the child molesting and raping of women. Women go into the confession, they confess their sins, and then they are raped by the priest. All of this. Then we began what we call the Protestant Reformation. Now, these churches existed all the time here, outside of the Catholic Church and out of the Protestant Reformation. They were always there. They were called Anabaptists, Baptists, Paulicians, etc. Now, Patrick was a descendant of these people, of the early churches, not Catholicism. Now, let's see what he says. Patrick, a sinner, a simple countryman, the least of all the faithful, most contemptible to many, had the father of the deacon Calpurnius, son of the late Pontius, a priest or a pastor of the settlement of Vacus, of Benavim Tabernae, had a small villa nearby where I was taken captive. He was captured by Irish pirates. I was at that time 16 years of age. I did not indeed know the true God. He said I didn't know who God was. Even though he had heard the preaching all of his life, he didn't know God yet. I was taken into captivity in Ireland with many thousands of people, according to our deserts, for quite drawn away from God. These people were drawn away from God. They were pagans where he was taken. They did not keep his precepts, nor were obedient to our pastors, who used to remind us of our salvation. And the Lord brought down on us fury, this being scattered among many nations, even to the ends of the world, where I in my smallness am now to be found among the foreigners. And there the Lord opened my mind to the awareness of my unbelief, in order that even so late I might remember my transgressions and turn with all of my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my insignificance and pitied my youth and ignorance. And he watched over me. I knew him before over me before I knew him, and before I learned sense of even distinguished between good and evil, he protected me and consoled me as a father with his own son. Therefore, indeed, I cannot keep silent, nor would it be proper. So many favors and graces has the Lord deigned to bestow on me in the land of my captivity. For after chastisement from God and recognizing him, our way to repay him is to exalt him and confess his wonders before every nation under heaven. When we are saved, our way to repay him, Patrick says, is to confess him. When you're a Baptist, you confess that you believe Jesus Christ. Remember when I told you, have you repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save you and all of that, and we baptize you? You baptize, your old self dies there, and you raise into newness of life. You remember that, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. Sharon, do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I baptize all of you by the authority of the church, as that is. For there is no other God, nor even was there, nor shall there be hereafter, but the God of the Father, unbegotten and without beginning, in whom all things began, whose in all things we have been taught, and his Son Jesus Christ, who manifestly always existed with the Father before the beginning of time, in the Spirit with the Father, indescribably begotten before all things. All things visible and invisible were made by him. And he was made man and conquered death and received into heaven to the Father, who gave him all power under every name in heaven and earth and in hell, and so that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, in whom we believe. He believed in Jesus Christ, didn't he? I can tell you that. And we look to his imminent coming again. He's going to come back. Going to take this world and straighten it all out. All the wars and rumors of wars that we hear in the world is going to be gone. He's going to take care of that. The judge of the living and the dead, who will render to each according to his deeds, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on us in abundance, the gift and the pledge of immortality, and makes the believers and the obedient into sons of God and co-heirs of Christ, who is revealed, and we worship one God in the Trinity of the holy name of God. This comes from a long time ago, people. These are words from time gone by. He himself said to the prophet, call upon me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And again, it is right to reveal and publish abroad the works of God. I am imperfect in many ways. Nevertheless, I want my brethren and my kinsfolk to know my nature, so as they may be able to perceive my soul's desire. How's it like hearing words from almost 2,000 years ago? Isn't that something? I'm not ignorant of what is said of my Lord in the psalm. You destroy those who speak a lie, and again a lying mouth deals death to the soul. And likewise the Lord says in the gospel, on the day of judgment men shall render according to their every idle word that they utter. So it is that I should mightily fear with terror and trembling the just judgment on the day when no one shall be able to steal away or hide, but each man shall render an account for every of the smallest sins before the judgment seat of Christ our Lord. Therefore, sometime I've thought of writing, but I've hesitated until now, for truly I feared expose myself to the criticism of men because I have not studied like others. He was not an educated man. He was not educated. He could read and write, but he was not educated. He was not educated in all the languages and things of the other pastors of his time, who have assimilated both the law and the Holy Scriptures equally and have never changed their idiom since their infancy, but instead were always learning increasingly to perfection, while on my idiom of language have been translated into foreign languages. So it is all easy to prove from a sample of writing my ability of rhetoric and the extent of my preparation and knowledge. For as it is said, wisdom shall be recognized in speech and in understanding and in knowledge and in learning of truths. These words from a long time ago. But why make excuses close to the truth, especially when now I am presuming to try to grasp in my old age what I did not gain in my youth, because my sins prevented me from making what I had read my own? But who will believe me, even though I should say it again, a young man, almost beardless boy? I was taken captive before I knew what I should desire and what I should shun. So consequently today, I feel ashamed, and I am mightily afraid to expose my ignorance, because not eloquent and with a small vocabulary. He did not have an extensive vocabulary. He couldn't quote the poets of time and all of that. He had a rudiment education in the Bible. That's it. I am unable to explain, as the Spirit is eager to do, and so the soul and the mind indicate. But had it given me, as to others, ingratitude, I should not have kept silent. And it should appear that I put myself before others with my ignorance, with slower speech. In truth, it is written, the tongue of the stammerer shall speak rapidly and distinctly. How much harder must it be to try to attain, we of whom it is said, you are the epistle of Christ, in greeting to the ends of the earth. We are epistles of God, aren't we? When we're saved, we're epistles of God. Written on our hearts, and not with ink, but in the Spirit of the living God. And again, the Spirit witnessed that the rustic life was created by the Most High. I am then, first of all, countrified exile. I'm a hillbilly, he said. I'm just a hillbilly. Evidently unlearned, and one who is not able to see in the future. But I know for certain that before I was humbled, I was like a stone living in deep mire. And then His mighty came, and His mercy raised me up, and indeed lifted me up high and placed me on the top of the wall. And from there I ought to shout out my gratitude for the Lord for His great favors in this world and forever that the mind of man cannot even measure. Therefore be amazed, you great and small who fear God, and young men of God, eloquent speakers, listen and contemplate. Who was summoned me as a fool from the midst of those who appear wise and learned in the law and the powerful in rhetoric. And in all things, me, truly wretched in this world. He inspired before others that I could be, if I would, such a one who would with fear and reverence and faithfully, without complaint, would come to the people to whom the love of Christ brought me and gave me in my lifetime, if I should be worthy to serve them truly and with humility. Priest, the people serve the priest in Catholicism. In his Christianity, the priest or the pastors serve the people. I am your servant. I'm not your Lord, he said. According to, therefore, the measure of one's faith in the Trinity, one should proceed without holding back from the danger to make known the gift of God, the everlasting consolation, to spread God's name everywhere with confidence and without fear, in order to leave behind, after my death, foundations for my brethren and sons whom I baptized in the Lord, so many thousands. And I was not worthy, nor was I such that the Lord should grant His humble servant this, that after the hardships and such great trials with captivity and many years, He should give me such favor to those people, a thing which in the time of my youth I neither hoped for nor imagined. But after I reached Ireland, I used to pastor the flocks each day, and I used to pray many times a day. More and more did the love of God and the fear of Him and the faith increase in my spirit. And my spirit was moved so that in a day I said from 1 up to 100 prayers in the night, like number. Besides, I used to stay out in the forest and in the mountains, and I would wake up before daylight to pray in the snow, icy coldness and the rain. I used to feel neither ill nor softness, because as I now see, the Spirit was burning in me at that time. He was a slave. He was a slave pasturing pigs and goats and sheep and cattle. And it was there, of course, that one night in my sleep, I heard a voice saying to me, "You do well to fast, son. You will depart from your home country. You're going to go for your home country. You're going to go back home." And again, a very short time later, there was a voice prophesying, "Behold, your ship is ready." And it was not close, but it happened to be 200 miles away where I had never been, nor any person. And shortly thereafter, I turned about and fled from the man with whom I had been for 6 years. And I came by the power of God, who directed my route to the advantage, and I was afraid of nothing until I reached the ship. And on that same day I arrived, the ship was setting out from the place, and I said that I had a wherewithal to sail with them, and the steersman was displeased and replied in anger, "Charlie, by no means attempt to go with us." Hearing this, I left then and to go into a shanty, for I was saying. And on the way I began to pray. And before the prayer was finished, I heard one of them shouting loudly after me, "Come quickly, because the men are calling you." And immediately I went back to them, and they started to say to me, "Come, because we are admitting you out of good faith. Make friendship with us in any way you wish." And so on that day I refused to suck the breast of those men from the fear of God. But nevertheless, I had hopes that they would come to faith in Christ Jesus, because they were barbarians. And for this I continued with them forthwith, and we put out to sea. And after 3 days we reached the land. For 28 days journeyed through uninhabited country, and the food ran out, and hunger overtook them. And one day the steersman began to say, "Why is it, Christian? You say your God is great and all powerful, then why don't you pray for us? For we may perish of hunger. It is unlikely indeed that we shall ever see another human being. In fact," I said to them confidently, "be converted. Be converted by faith. And with all your heart to the Lord God, because nothing is impossible for him, so that today he will send food for you on your road until you be full, satiated. Because everywhere he abounds. And with God's help, this came to pass. And behold, a herd of swine appeared on the road before our eyes, and they slew many of them and remained there for 2 nights. And men were full of their meat and well restored, for many of them had fainted and would otherwise have been left half dead on the wayside. And after this they gave the utmost thanks to God, and I esteemed in their eyes. And from that day forward they had food abundantly, and they discovered wild honey besides, and they offered share to me. And one of them said, 'It is a sacrifice. Thanks be to God.' He said, 'I tasted none of it.' And the very same night, while I was sleeping, Satan attacked me violently. I remember, as long as I shall be in this body, there fell upon me a large rock, and not one of my members had any force. He was there, and a rock, large rock fell upon him, and he couldn't move his arms or legs. He was paralyzed. But from and whence did I come to me, ignorant in the spirit, to call upon Helios? And meanwhile I saw the sun rising in the sky. While I was crying out, 'Helios, Helios,' with all my might, and lo, the brilliance of the sun fell upon me." Helios means sun, by the way. Helios. That's Greek. "And immediately shook me free of all the weight. I believe that I was aided by Christ my Lord, and with the Spirit then was crying out for me. I hope that it would be in the day of my affliction. Just as he says in the gospel, 'In that hour the Lord declared, it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking in you.' And a second time, many years I was taken captive. On the first night, according to, remained with my captors. But I heard a divine prophecy saying to me, 'You shall be with them for 2 months.' So it happened. On the 16th night, the Lord delivered me from their hands. On the journey, he provided with me us with food and fire and dry weather every day until on the 10th day we came upon people. As I mentioned above, we journeyed through an unpopulated country for 28 days. And in fact, the night that we came upon people, we had no food. You like this story? The story of this Christian man so many years ago. And after a few years, I was again in Britain with my parents and kinsfolk. They welcomed me as a son, and I asked in faith that after all the great tribulations that I had endured, that I should not go anywhere else from them. In other words, not leave them again. And of course, there in a vision of the night, I saw a man whose name was Victoricus, coming as far from Ireland, with innumerable letters. And he gave me one of them, and I read the beginning of the letter, "The Voice of the Irish." And I was reading the beginning of the letter, and I seemed at the moment to hear the voice of those who were beside the forest of Falkland, which is near the Western Sea, and they were crying as if with one voice, "We beg you, holy youth, that you come forth and shall walk among us again." And I was stung intensely in my heart so that I could not read any more. And I woke. Thus, thanks be to God, because after so many years, the Lord bestowed them upon me according to their cry. And another night, God knows, I do not, whether with me and me or beside me, most words which I heard could not understand except at the end of the speech, it was repented or represented thus: "He gave his life for you. He it is who speaks within you." And thus I woke joyfully. He heard another people. He did not understand their language. And on the second occasion, I saw him praying within me, and it was in where inside my own body, and I heard him above me, and I heard him above my inner self. He was praying powerfully with sighs. And in the course of this, I astonished and wondering, I pondered who it could be was praying within me. But at the end of the prayer, it was revealed to me that it was the Spirit. So I woke and remembered the Apostle's words, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we know not how to pray or how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us in sighs, deep utterance, and again the Lord, our Advocate, intercedes for us." And I was attacked by a godly number of elders, and they brought up my sins against my arduous episcopate, my church, and the pastors. And the day in particular, I was mightily upset. Might have fallen there forever, but the Lord generously spared me a convert and an alien for his name's sake, and he came powerfully to my assistance. In the state of being trampled down, I pray God that it shall not be held against them as their sin that I fell truly into disgrace and scandal. They brought up against me after 30 years of occurrence I had confessed before becoming a deacon. He was a deacon in the church now in England or Britain. He said, "On account of anxiety and a sorrowful mind, I laid before my close friend what I had perpetrated on a day, nay, rather in an hour. In my boyhood, because I was not yet proof against God knows, I did not know whether I was 15 years old at the time, and I did not believe in the living God, nor did I believe since my infancy. But I remained in death and unbelief until I was severely rebuked. In truth, I was humbled every day by hunger and nakedness. And on another hand, I did not proceed to Ireland on my own accord until I was almost giving up. But through this, I was corrected by the Lord and prepared me so that today I should be what was once far from me, in order that I should have the care of, or rather, that I should be concerned for the salvation of others. But at the time, still, I was only concerned for myself, my own salvation. Therefore, on that day I was rebuked, as I have just mentioned. I saw in a vision of the night a document before my face without honor, and meanwhile, I heard a divine prophecy saying to me, "We have seen with the pleasure the face of the Chosen One, the basket of His goodly name." And He did not say, "You have seen with displeasure," but "We have seen with displeasure," as He included Himself. He then said, "He who touches you touches the apple of my eye." His own brethren had begun to turn against him. And God in His heart told him, He said, "You are the apple of my eye. I have a job for you to do. I have a job for you to do. For this reason I gave thanks to Him and strengthened me in all things, and so that I should not be hindered in my setting out and also in my work, which I was taught by Christ my Lord, but more from the state of affairs I felt within me, no little courage, and vindicated my faith before God and man. Hence therefore I said boldly, that my conscience is clear now and hereafter, God is my witness, that I have not lied in these words to you, but rather I am grieved for my very close friend, that because of him we deserve to hear such a prophecy. The one whom I entrusted my soul and found out from my goodly number of brethren before the case was made to my defense, and that not to take part, nor was I in Britain, nor was I pleaded with by me in my absence, he would fight in my behalf. Besides, he told me himself, 'See, the rank of bishop goes to you.'" What's bishop? What is the word, "the rank of bishop goes to you"? He's a pastor. The word bishop in Catholicism is a high ranking, but bishop is simply a pastor. I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop, okay? "Goes to you, of which I was not worthy," and I am not worthy, simple as that. That's a calling. "But how did it come to him shortly afterward to disgrace me publicly in the presence of all good and bad, because of previously gladly of his own free will he pardoned me, as did the Lord, who is greater than all." I've said enough, but all the time I'm not to conceal God's gift which he lavished upon us in the land of my captivity. "For then I sought him resolutely, and I found him there, and he preserved me from all the evils, as I believe through all the indwelling of his Spirit, which works in me to this day, again boldly, but God knows, it is this, had been made known to me by man, I might perhaps have kept silent for the love of Christ." He said, "I give untiring thanks to God who kept me faithful in the day of my temptation, and so that today I may confidently offer my soul in a living sacrifice for Christ my Lord. Whom am I, O Lord? Or rather, what is my calling that you appear to me in so great a divine quality, so that this day among the barbarians I might constantly exalt and magnify your name in whatever place I should be, not only in good fortune but even in affliction, so that whatever befalls me, be it for good or bad, I should accept it equally and give thanks always to God, who revealed to me that I must trust in him implicitly and forever, and who would encourage me so that ignorant in the last days that I might die, dare to undertake so a devout and so wonderful work, so that I might imitate one of those whom once long ago the Lord already preordained to the heralds of his gospel to witness to all peoples and to the ends of the earth. So are we seeing, and so it is fulfilled. Behold, we are witnesses, because of the gospel has been preached as far as the places beyond which no man lives." He said, long ago, as the apostles were called, I'm called. Now here we sit here almost 2,000 years later. What's God want for you to do? Do he want you to do what this man did? Do you need to take off to Ireland? Or does he have some place for you to work right where you are? He said, "It's tedious to describe and detail all my labors one by one. I'll tell you how the Most Holy God frequently delivered me from slavery and from 12 trials with which my soul was threatened, from man traps as well, and from things that I'm not able to put into words. I would not cause offense to readers, but I have God as witness, who knew all things even before they happened, that though I was poor and ignorant and waif, I was a waif, I was an orphan, still he gave me abundant warnings through divine prophecy. Whence he came to me, this wisdom was not in my own, for I never knew the number of days, nor the knowledge of God, whence came to such a great and healthful gift of all-knowing and rather loving God, though I should lose a homeland and family. He said, I gained God even though I lost my homeland and my family. He said, many gifts were offered to me with weeping and tears, and I offended them, the donors, and also went against the wishes of a good number of my elders, but guided by God, I neither agreed with them nor deferred to them, not by my own grace, but by God who is victorious in me and withstands them all, that I might come to the Irish people and preach the gospel and endure insults from unbelievers. I might hear scandal of my travels and endure many persecutions from the extent of prisons, so that I might give up my free birthright for the advantage of others. And if I should be worthy, I am ready to give even my life without hesitation and most willingly for his name. And I choose to devote it to him even unto death if God grants me that grace. I am greatly God's debtor because he granted me grace. And through me many people would be reborn in God. And soon after confirmed in the clergy would be ordained everywhere. Pastors would be ordained, deacons would be ordained everywhere for them, and the masses lately come to believe, whom the God drew from the ends of the earth, just as he once promised through his prophets, to you shall be the nations come from the ends of the earth, and shall say, our fathers have inherited naught but lies, worthless sayings in which there is no profit, and again have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the uttermost times of the earth. He said, I wish to wait for them for his promise, which is never unfulfilled. Just as it is promised in the gospel, many shall come from east and west and shall sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just as we believe that believers will come from all the world. So far, the reasons one should in fact fish well and diligently, just as the Lord foretells and teaches us, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And again through the prophets, behold, I am sending forth many fishers and hunters, saith the Lord. So it behold us to spread our nets, that a vast multitude of throng might be caught for God. So there might be pastors everywhere who baptized and exhorted the needy and desirous people, just as the Lord says in the gospel, admonishing and instructing them, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am always with you until the end of time. And again he says, go forth into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and baptizes shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the whole world as a witness of all nations, and even to the end of the world shall come. And likewise the Lord foretells through the prophet, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and the sons and daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and in my men servants and maid servants in these days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And Hosea says, these are who the not my people, that I will call my people, and those not beloved I will call my beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are my people, they will be called sons of the living God. So how is it that in Ireland, where there never had any knowledge of God, but always until now cherished idols and unclean things, they are lately become people of the Lord, and are called children of God, the sons of the Irish, the Scotty, and the daughters of the chieftains are to be seen monks and virgins of Christ.